It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford, Damon Whitten with you. Damon, the head coach of the Lakers, and going up against Bemidji State this weekend on the road. It's tough enough just getting to Bemidji without playing that team. They're very, very good. They're good on their ice. They're a fast team. They are very good on the power play. They're even better killing penalties. They're a really tough hockey team. The Lakers lost to them a couple of times about a month ago here in the Sioux. And a tough task, Damon, going up against Bemidji State right now.
Well, it really is, you know. And we talked Tuesday night a little bit about the start to their season where they're a little bit more up and down. And, you know, Tom Ceratori, their head coach, felt like Michael Bitzer, their All-American goaltender last year, you know, took some unfair heat. You know, he maybe wasn't as good as he was to from really start to finish last year when they were the number one team in the WCHA from start to finish. But Bitzer's back on task, and he's been very good for them as of late. And just, you know, presents another huge challenge. Not only do they have a good team that can skate and some really good sticks throughout their lineup, but you know ultimately that Bitzer's waiting when you get through their D layers or whatever the case may be. You got to find a way to beat Bitzer, and that makes it a really tough challenge, you know, at the very end of it when you can get there. But you also mentioned their special teams. They've been off the charts on both sides of things. You know, Jerry Fitzgerald has missed the last couple games, so I haven't heard if he'll be out or back, but he's one of their most impactful forwards, and you know, he's a key power play guy as well. Zach Whitecloud on the power play is very, very good. Dickman net front. So, you know, we've got to have discipline and play 5-on-5 and, you know, make sure it doesn't get into a special teams battle because they've been outstanding that way.
Yeah, and one of the big problems that we have in this league, and I hear a lot of coaches talking about it. In fact, I hear more of it out of the NCHC than I do even the WCHA. The officiating's a little bit shaky sometimes, and you may not do anything in a game. I pointed out a few weeks ago that Kyle Chatham did a heck of a job sealing off a player at Northern Michigan and got a penalty for it. We saw some stuff this past weekend we don't necessarily agree with. And I see where some other coaches have really taken on the officials lately in some of their commentary. You can go in there and play a really clean game. You can still wind up in the penalty box all night.
That's always a tough part, no question, either as a coach or as a player, probably even more so for our players. You know, if there's a clear standard, the players can adjust, and they're fine with that. But when there's inconsistency, you know, between calls or between games or, you know, even within a game and between teams, it gets it's hard for the guys to maintain their focus and their discipline in those situations. And, you know, I didn't think last weekend was a very good job at all, you know, let alone, you know, they missed Diego's goal, you know, called it a goal on the ice, reviewed it, didn't stand for some, I don't know how that was possible, but, you know, there just needs to be consistency. It's a tough job, and it's a hard game. It's a fast game. There's a lot of things going on, but you want consistency. And, you know, one thing I thought we've really gotten away from is protecting puck carriers, you know, that are creating chances or on the attack. You know, there's so much stuff to the hands. It was a big point of emphasis at the start of the year, and I thought they were doing a decent job, and now it's you know, not called at all. So, you know, I guess we need to adjust what we're doing and you know, get a feel in game to do that. But again, we want to stare the penalty box. You know, we've had flashes of a great power play. I think we've had, Diego's goal again was waved off. That should have counted. But, you know, our power play has been a little bit more consistent lately after a great start. And again, penalty kill, same thing. You know, I think we're doing a pretty good job in our structure. You know, your goalie has to be your best guy on the ice there in that situation. And that's been one of the things we've been fighting through a little bit. But we want to play 5-on-5, and I think we match up well 5-on-5 with them.
Yeah, you know, we should let everybody know, too. A lot of times we'll do this show live on a Thursday morning. We are definitely taping this one because this team has to leave town very, very early on Thursday morning. So when you're hearing this, Damon and the hockey team will be out of range of being able to hear this program because you get a long way to go on Thursday, and you're going to go all the way across the UP and then up into the middle of Minnesota. It's about a 12 to 14-hour drive, depending on the weather. You're going to take a regular bus on this trip. It's not a sleeper bus. Talk a little bit about some of the things that go with that and trying to get a team ready and get in a skate on Thursday night over at the Sanford Center and really be prepared to play on Friday night.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, I think the last couple of years we've left Wednesday night late on a sleeper bus and the guys sleep overnight. And, you know, there's some benefits of that in terms of getting into town earlier and kind of adjusting to your surroundings that way. Probably the drawback is, you know, I think the guys probably sleep a little bit better than the staff, just being younger and a little more adaptable that way. But it's still not the best sleep. You're hitting rumble strips and you're stopping and things like that. So, you know, this is a little bit different for sure that way. You know, I do hope we get there in time to practice. If we hit some weather issues, you know, that might affect our practice time in Bemidji. But ideally we can get off the bus and jump on the ice and get a real good sweat, kind of flush the bus out of our system. And then, you know, it's a normal weekend from there. You have your Thursday night, you have a little post-game meal, you meet, and, you know, you wake up Friday, it's game day. So I think we'll be fine. You know, our guys have done a good job handling some of the things thrown at them this year. And then part of it is because we're staying out, we're not going to return after Bemidji because, again, 14 hours back, we're in town, you know, maybe 40 hours before we got to start departing to Alaska. So because we're staying out, we wanted to shorten our total time gone and wear and tear in the body once again. So it is a little bit different, but, you know, we've played well over in Bemidji and won some games over there. It's a great place to play, a great hockey community. So I think there's excitement for the guys to get on the bus and to find a win. You know, we talked also on Tuesday that, you know, Diego Cugliata, one of our best players, really all season, but certainly over the last month and a half, 2 months, you know, he talked about that. You know, we got to find a way to win some games here and make a push here late.
Yeah, it's going to be a difficult task because Bemidji's very good. Then you got to make this long trip up to Alaska and play in Anchorage. And that's never easy, even if they're behind you in the standings. They're only 3 points back right now. And they're looking at this as being an opportunity to go ahead of Lake Superior and have the Lakers finish in last place in the WCHA. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff to be done here yet. You've also got a series right at the end of February down at Ferris State. The schedule has not been kind to Lake Superior. It's been a tough enough year as it is. One of the positive things, I think, right now is we've got everybody pretty much, other than Matt McArdle, we're pretty healthy right now. Probably the healthiest we've been all season.
Well, yeah, certainly the healthiest in terms of guys able to play, but, you know, we've kind of hit on it too, Bill, and, you know, the guys that were out for extended period of times are not at full health. You know, some of the lower body injuries that one of our guys suffered, you know, you don't get over it in season. You need the summer or long break, which you just don't get in season to have. So you see him in practice, you see him in games come up wincing a couple times per game and, you know, kind of aggravating that thing. You know, another one of our defensemen has an upper body injury that he's playing through with, you know, some issues that way as well. So we are healthy in being able to play and suit nearly a full lineup. But and that's no different than most teams. This time of year, you're playing through injuries, nagging things, broken bones, things like that. But it's been a challenge that way for sure. But it is nice to have nearly everybody. Obviously, Yuki Miura was a big story coming back, back from injury, but in the lineup for the first time all season long on Saturday night. Thought he did a tremendous job. And, you know, he was a guy that we weren't sure we'd find a way to play this year. We're thinking maybe at Ferris to get him in some games there. But, you know, coming off 8-9 weeks of a long, serious injury, we weren't sure if or when he'd be ready. And good for him. He showed some toughness and some hard work to rehab and get ready to play. And we actually talked to him Saturday morning, and he was pretty fired up. You know, he talked about he was targeting this weekend to be back and thought he'd be in Friday night. So I really liked that he showed some jam and some pushback that he wanted to play and help this team, and then I thought he backed it up by going in and playing a real strong game.
Yeah, we pointed this out on the weekend too when we had Yuki get into the lineup. Lake Superior State's become a pretty much the lineup sometimes can be have a real international flavor. We've got a Japanese player, we've got a Swedish player, a German player, and a Latvian player, and sometimes they're all in the game at one time. A couple of them are pretty good. I think there's a real good future for a guy like Hampus Eriksson, Yuki Miura. I think Keibel's one of our better players right now. And again, you look at that, three freshmen playing on defense every game for Lake Superior. There's a lot of reasons why Lake Superior is in the position it's in, but youth and newcomers is a big part of it, as well as losing all the players we lost last year at the end of the season with four guys leaving before they matriculated as seniors at Lake State.
Yeah, you know, like you said, it's not about next year. You know, it's about Friday night, and it's about, you know, trying to fight for that playoff spot, and that's our sole focus. You know, I think when the season's over and we get a chance to look long term and, you know, what some of the opportunities for our young guys to play does, there is some positive that way and some excitement that the experience they've gained. You know, the play Will Rydell got and Tyler Anderson, certainly when Lucas Kybel and Colin Sackerman were out for what, 7-8 weeks, you know, those guys got some really valuable minutes of experience and development and things like that. And you know, and that wasn't the plan. You know, like I said, it should have been Hedrick and Bendulis and Holtz and Morgan, and you know, it just didn't come out that way with the signings and the transfers, and, you know, Owen going off to the OHL, and so it really drastically changed the makeup of our team, the experience level of our team, and obviously it's made it a real challenge this year. I think coming into the year, or I guess before the departures, you know, we thought this year would be a year we'd really take a step up and fight for home ice, and then all of a sudden, you know, your roster is drastically different than you had penciled in 4 or 5 months ago, or, you know, April, May last year, whatever the case may be. So that's the challenge, you know, that we've been faced with, and then for Sockerman and Kybel to go out for an extended period of time, it's just been a lot of challenges, and, you know, we've got to be better through it, and we've got to handle this transition better in the future, but that's not today. Today's a focus on Bemidji State and finding some road success so that we can get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and then you've got a trip up to Anchorage, and we'll talk about that in the second half of the show this morning, staying out in Minnesota, not coming back. One of the reasons Pat O'Neill and I are not going to make the trip to Bemidji is, well, aside from the weather, that just becomes a long haul, and there's no way to get on the bus because the bus isn't coming back for a couple of weeks, and we are not going to Anchorage, Alaska. So we'll talk about that in the second half. We'll be right back with more of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success in 2017-18.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome to the second portion of Laker Hockey Talk this morning. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten, talking our favorite subject these days, Laker hockey. And Damon, it's not going to be too long whether we make the playoffs or not. This season's going to come to a screeching halt. I know we were shocked by ending the home season last weekend with senior night, et cetera. But, boy, the month of February will fly by, too. You've got a weekend off there, the third week in February, before you go down to Ferris State. But you get 6 games left in the regular season. And, you know, if you grab a playoff spot, it's probably going to be eighth, and you'll have a really tough assignment in Mankato, Minnesota. So we're coming down to the end here.
Yeah, well, I think it's Northern right now, right? They're sitting up in one right now. So, but, you know, Mankato will have some things to say. It's going to be interesting to watch, you know, all those playoff battles, us fighting for one of those last few spots in the top of the standings there. But, you know, that's the goal. You know, I think you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. And, you know, that's got to be our sole focus. And as you mentioned, it's going to be a road warrior mentality for us, which sometimes is not the worst thing in the world, to kind of get out of town and really just, you know, cocoon yourselves with your teammates. And, you know, look at the task at hand and get through it. So it starts in Bemidji, but obviously, as you mentioned, you know, we'll continue that trip on to Anchorage and a real unique situation and set up with our schedule this year that, you know, we're done. You know, senior night, and that's beyond us already at the end of January. I've not been anywhere I've ever seen that. And, you know, even talking to some coaches this year, they were shocked to kind of see that. We all voted on the schedule. Obviously, we voted against it, but didn't win when that came up in at our coaches' meeting. Coaches coaches convention, but I think a lot of guys are really surprised by that and know that it's not right or good for anybody. But you know, that's the way it shook out this year, and that's the battle we have to fight.
Yeah, it's difficult here coming down the stretch. You're 8 points out of a playoff spot, so obviously you need to win probably four of these last six games. And it's possible. It's doable. But the players really have to play well. They've got to score some goals. Scoring goals has been a real problem for us this season. It's getting so we have to hold the other team to about two goals a game in order to get a victory. And that's pretty tough in the WCHA.
Yeah, well, but I don't think that's uncommon. I mean, you listen to the NHL coaches, or you watch NHL games. I mean, that's pretty much the standard there. You know, it's two or less. You got to be great defensively. You know, there's not many teams that can go out and outscore their mistakes or win games 5-3 or 6-5 or things like that. There's certainly occasionally that happens and they climb up there. But if you're going to be a strong team, you know, you're going to have that goals against under 2-5 or so, and do it by being great defensively. And you know, we've been doing a pretty good job actually of not giving up too many grade A scoring chances and giving that up, and that's kind of one of our main focuses as a team, is being hard to play against defensively but limiting the other team's grade A's. We want to win the grade A battle on a given night, and you know, that along with special teams has a real big impact on who wins games that night. And we've been winning the grade A battle a lot of nights, but it hasn't shown up in the win column. So you know, we've got to make sure along with doing that, we're keeping the puck out of the back of our net.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, you don't like to pick on people or positions, etc., but your goaltending's got to be spectacular. And this year, I think Nick Kossoff has had a fair year. He's had some great games this season individually. I think of Northern Friday night a couple of weeks ago. He was spectacular. He was really good in Denver this year. He was good in Pittsburgh. And he's got a save percentage that's over .900. He's a .906 or something right now, which is not bad. But the goals against is not very good. And Marek Smittens, his save percentage is down below .88 right now. So he's struggled. And here's a kid who's coming out of the North American League. I think he was the MVP goaltender, the most valuable goaltender in the league last year.
Yeah,
he was spectacular.
Set a shutout record. And, yeah, so it's been challenging, you know. And like you said, it's not on one group. It's a team game. And, you know, guys in front of them, things like, you know, it takes everybody for sure. And, you know, you mentioned it. We're playing three freshman D most nights, two sophomore D a lot of nights as well. And, you know, it's just you're not built for success when you're that young and inexperienced in those critical areas. You know, but we do need consistency from the position. And you know, we've seen the flashes, as you mentioned, some of the games where Nick and Merrick's have played very well, you know, it's got to be every night. You got to be able to at least match the guy at the other end. You know, you might not mm-hmm. beat some of these guys like a Tolvanen or Bitzer, you know, every single night, but you got to match it, you know. And we haven't gotten that enough, and you know, we got to continue to pound on that. And if that's going to be the case, you know, we've got to be that much better as a team defensively, so we're not giving up some of those opportunities.
You know, Damon, one of the things, and we've talked about it ad nauseum really this season on both talk shows that we do, but it obviously hurt this team to lose players before they were ready to go. You mentioned Hedrick a few moments ago, Halt, Bendulis, Luke Morgan leaving and going to the University of Michigan and actually sitting out a year before he can play next year. That sort of thing just kills you as a program, and it certainly has hurt us this season. Do you see anything in the future here, and how do you project that? I mean, how do you look at your team right now and say, well, let's see who might leave at the end of the season? That's got to be something that gnaws at the head coach and the assistants.
Yeah, it doesn't leave for a lot of restful nights. There's no question about it. You know, I know we knew with Mitch would probably not be a 4-year player. You know, there was a strong chance of that if he came in, did what we thought he could do when he's 6'3" and has the skill set and, you know, the body, the physical maturity to do some of the things he could do. You know, we didn't think we'd have him for 4 years, but we also thought he'd probably be a 3-year guy minimum. So, you know, it's tough, you know, but you also have scholarship dollars tied up in these guys. So it's not like, you know, you can just go reinvest that scholarship in somebody. Then if he doesn't sign, you know, you don't have that money. So it's a real juggling and balancing act. You know, I think Chris Bendulis, he's been in the East Coast Hockey League almost the entire year. He's played a couple games in the American League, but just, you know, not even close to ready physically. And a great player, great kid. We loved having Chris around. He should be back being an impact guy and a good player, and You know, but that's it. So, but yeah, for sure, Chris, you don't project that, you know, I mean, just physically, he was not ready to go play against men and be a pro. So, you know, you don't really anticipate that one. That one was a little bit of a blind side. You know, we had that at Michigan Tech with Jajar Kara. He played his freshman year, but JJ was a third round draft pick. And so, you know, you thought maybe there'd be a little bit of that. And physically, he, you know, had a pretty good year, but it's tough. It really is difficult and challenging. I think schools like maybe a Michigan, a BU, a North Dakota, you know, they can handle those, you know, a little bit more in some ways, and I think it's a little bit more challenging for a smaller school, and you know, without the recruiting clout that some of those so-called big schools have. So you know, it's been a challenge that way for sure. And again, we can't get caught that way again. You know, we're going to have to do a better job, and you know, having guys ready to come in that are a little bit more prepared to play. And you know, quite honestly, that late in the process, there's not guys that are really ready to come in. They're not going to replace a guy like Mitch and do those kinds of things. You know, same thing with Luke. You know, he's a freshman, had a really good year, 20-some points, and, you know, would have been a great player for us the next couple of years. And, you know, things happen. Kids change their mind, and, you know, we'll have to be more prepared. The other big, you know, kind of cloud hanging out there in NCAA is that rule change where they might open up transfers, that there's going to be no penalty to transfer. And I think it's going to be the wild, wild west. You know, guys are going to be leaving left and right. I'm not sure how you can discipline a player, you know, if they have an off-ice issue, or you're trying to teach them or coach them something, and you're, you know, whether it's a healthy scratch or holding them to a higher standard, you know, they're just going to say, hey, well, I'm going to go. I don't have to sit out and leave. So it sounds like that's going to pass and be a part of, you know, the Division I landscape. And I think I don't know how coaches are going to manage rosters or what we're going to do, but I think it's going to really be a difficult, challenging time in college hockey and across the Division I landscape.
Yeah, I think it's really bad, because it's going to happen right away. You're going to have some big schools who will look at a Lake Superior or a Ferris State or somebody who's got two really good players, and they'll start calling. And even if you have a rule that says you can't tamper with them, they'll tamper with them. And exactly. It's going to be ugly. It's going to get really nasty. It's why this rule's always been in place. If you transfer, you sit a year. I think it's a great rule. I agree with the NCAA rule on that. And, you know, people get confused. They think the NCAA is this office in Indianapolis that dictates everything. That's not true. It's the membership that does it. And the membership that's going to vote on this is going to vote out the transfer rule. It's just, it's basketball and football
is
doing.
And the rich getting richer, you know, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, you know, they want a little bit more of the pie and more. And, you know, I think the interesting part, and we've talked about it, you know, obviously everybody here knows Jeff Jackson. Jeff's down at Notre Dame. And I'm not sure it's much easier for Jeff, you know, because yes, they might, you know, go around and try to grab some guys from some smaller schools, things like that, and show them the bells and whistles. But I think they're going to have a really hard time retaining guys. You know, they've got highly recruited players that are on their third line, their fourth line, or maybe a guy didn't play in every game that was a high-end kid out of wherever, and he's going to be gone too. So I think it's going to be really challenging. You know, I think the Michigans, the Notre Dames, the North Dakotas are going to suffer just as much. They're not going to lose their top guys, but they're going to lose some of their depth guys and guys that were, again, they're very good players. They're just finding themselves in a third, fourth line role at a North Dakota or things like that. And you know, for them to manage their roster, I think it's really bad for college hockey. You know, I don't know enough about the ins and outs and the basketballs and footballs, but I just don't know how. You know, I watched a guy like Mark D'Antonio, you know, at my alma mater. I think he's done just an amazing job. Obviously, there's been a lot going on there, but just from the football side of things, you know, they went through a tough year last year. They rebound, have a fantastic year, and then he loses two or three really good high recruit freshmen because they didn't play. And you know, I think when you have 28, 29 student athletes, not 100. I just think it's going to be a really challenging landscape, and you know, we're going to have to really be on our toes to manage that.
Well, it's difficult, and it's something else that we really haven't talked about it very much, but it's going to have a definite effect. It's certainly not going to help the smaller schools. It's going to be pretty tough for Lake Superior to call some kid at Michigan State and see if they can entice him to come to Sault Ste. Marie rather than be in East Lansing. And the other way around is the way it's going to go. It's going to get even more difficult for the smaller schools to compete at these high levels. And, you know, we had Neil Koepke, who's a veteran writer who's in East Lansing now, works at Michigan State, on the air when we were down at Michigan State back in, what was that, October we played there? And he said at the time, he said, pretty soon you're going to see it happen. In the next 4 years, the Big Ten's just going to dominate college hockey. They're going to get all the players, and even North Dakota's going to have a hard time keeping up with what's going to happen. So, you know, that I think he was looking at that and looking at these rules changes as being beneficial to the big guys.
Yeah, well, the Power Five conferences have really driven a lot of, you know, they kind of call it student-athlete welfare, but it's really, you know, about them wanting to have it both ways, you know, to get the early commitments and then not be tied to them and then go out and get your guys as well. So it's going to be an interesting battle, and, you know, we've got the gentleman's agreement in college hockey where you can't recruit to a verbally committed guy, and that's, you know, pretty much gone out the window, and I'm okay with that. You know, we have an NLI, we can stick to our NLI, and, you know, we try to do things the right way here, but you know, sometimes it's more important to know who's not doing things the right way just so you can kind of protect yourself. So a lot of things, it's a competitive business for sure, and that's going to be a real interesting dynamic that comes up.
Well, you've got a tough road trip coming up. You're going to go out to Bemidji, play two games against a really good team on its ice, then you got to stay out there in Minnesota. You got to deal with Super Bowl week this weekend, and get on over to Minneapolis, St. Paul, get on a plane, fly up to Anchorage and play two more games before you come back home, have a weekend off, and then finish out the regular season at Ferris State. So it's a pretty interesting role here.
Yeah, real unique, again, situation. And, you know, again, we'll manage well, and we've got some things mixed in to try to keep the guys, you know, busy and, you know, stay on top of school and things like that. And I've been working with our faculty to make sure we don't fall behind academically, and that's a big challenge as well. There's certainly some downtime that we can take advantage and make sure guys are doing a good job. You know, one thing, last thing, Bill, I just want to, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank the Check/Survive committee for Saturday night. I know we talked a little bit on the Tuesday night show, mm-hmm. but for the listeners who don't tune into that, just, you know, another great event, and want to thank this community for all their support for that program. There's no numbers out quite yet, but that'll be out before too long. And again, we kind of talked about Tuesday night that the next phase of that is for the committee to start accepting proposals for some of the allocation of the funds there. And for me, the last couple of years, to see the way this event impacts different groups in our community is really you know, a great thing to witness and see and be part of. So I want to thank all the fans for their support and coming out, and I guess not being home, you know. Appreciate all the support and sticking with this team and the way the guys have worked for this community and this program. So thank you all for the support this season.
All righty, Damon's getting out of here. He's got to get on a bus tomorrow morning, head to Bemidji. We will not have this show next week because we won't have a team in town. The coaches won't be here. We'll resume on the 15th of February, and we'll have another show at that time. We'll also have the Laker Hockey Show off next week and coming back on the 13th of February. Damon, thanks for your time this morning, and good luck to the team this weekend at Bemidji State.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Bill. We'll miss you on the road, but have a good week or two here, and we'll see you soon to talk some more Laker hockey.
Thank All you. Right. That's another edition of Laker Hockey Talk this morning on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.